Hello and welcome to the Vermillion Sports Show on KRVS 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Louis Bergeron, sports editor for the Vermillion, the student newspaper of the University of Louisiana. This is the Vermillion Sports Show on KRVS, where we talk the latest in Raging Cajuns athletics, as well as local and national sports. We used to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans, but guys, the NBA season is gone. Long
for
gone,
now.
Actually.
For now.
For now.
48 days away.
48 days away. That just shows you the NBA just never stops. But we're right back with the NFL. We're right back with college football. So this week in Raging Cajuns, we're talking about the Raging Cajuns football win over Grambling State. Very impressive performance by the Raging Cajuns. I think we could say that right now. No tease there on our, kind of like our thoughts, but we'll get more in depth into the Raging Cajuns football week one over Grambling. And then we'll talk about the New Orleans Saints. They played their first game on Sunday against Tampa Bay. And then we're talking college football week one.
And NFL week one.
Yeah, NFL week one.
It's the football podcast.
We'll pick, it's the football show.
Yeah.
It's all football. We are all football this week. But let's do the introductions. I'm joined by sports writer Charles Long.
I'm here.
And we are also here with long hair wonder Justin Vlasic.
Present.
Present. That one kid in class.
Present.
Yeah. Present.
Yeah. So we're here with Charles.
The human
soundboard. We're here with Justin. Then we have our Facebook live stream going on right now. And as I mentioned, first week of college football, we'll look at the second week big matchups. The NFL season is here. Of course, we'll talk about it. As I mentioned, the Saints going against Tampa Bay and the league's best matchups and the worst matchups. There's some
bad matchups
in NFL.
Justin's favorite matchup is in week one.
Yeah, yes. We'll get to Justin's favorite game, Justin's game of the week in the NFL.
New segment alert.
Yeah, new segment alert, Justin's game of the week, the worst game of the week. All right, so let's talk about Cajuns football, guys. Louisiana football team began the Billy Napier era with a 49-17 win over Grambling State. Justin, your initial reaction to the win?
Wow, that was great. That's pretty much exactly what we wanted to see for our first week under a new coach with a lot of new talent coming in. I think we kind of wanted to see a win, especially in our first time ever taking on Grambling. It was just, wow.
Yeah. Charlie?
What an introduction for Coach Napier. You know, like, we hyped him up all offseason saying that it was a great hire, and he really proved us right in the first week. It was outstanding.
There were definitely some doubts from people regarding, you know, like, Napier said after the press conference that 40% of the team's new. And, you know, all this transitioning. So people, you know, they could doubt or have any thought they had. But, I mean, when you win 49-17, that doubt goes away for at least a couple weeks.
It felt fresh. Like, it felt like a brand new team out on the field. A lot different from last year, even though there are a lot of returning players, a lot of returning stars from last year's team. It still felt like a whole brand new team under Coach Napier. Like, a whole new fire had been lit. And they really showed it. If you look at the difference from the opener against Southeastern last year to the to now against Grambling, there was a lot of differences, especially in the defense. But just as a team overall, they seemed like they were playing with the fire under them.
Yeah, especially the offense. And I was very impressed with the offense. I know, Charlie, you were more impressed with the defense. Justin, were you more impressed by the offense, defense? Because it was like a collective effort.
It was. But I think overall the offense is kind of what did it for me. Just the running backs, I think, performed really well. And even the quarterbacks, we did see both of them play. But it was when they did play, it was really effective.
So. Yeah, the offense under Napier and Rob Sell, the offensive coordinator, they worked together at Arizona State. It was fast, it was decisive, and it was effective. No matter kind of what personnel you could – that. Two quarterback system worked. It just worked
right
under Levi Lewis and Andre Nunez. But I want to look at the running backs because we love the running backs.
Oh, yes.
We're big fans of running the ball here on the Vermillion Sports Show. And Trey Regis and the running back corps, they were very impressive. Trey Regis had 142 yards, a collegiate career high for Regis.
In his young career.
Yeah, in his sophomore season after coming off an impressive freshman season. Impressive, the word of the show on the Vermillion Sports Show.
Oh, yeah.
142 rushing yards, one touchdown on only 13 carries for Trey Regis. The Raging Cajuns averaged 7.3 yards per carry on 43 rushing attempts. And then we look at junior Raymond Calais. He put up 69 yards and a touchdown on 7 carries. So just Calais and Regis alone, the two backs combined for 211 yards on 20 carries. I mean, the running game was a big standout for the Raging Cajuns.
That was a big key to, I think, why we won this game. You know, it's when you get 211 yards on 20 carries, that's excellent output from your running backs. And then it takes a lot of pressure off the quarterbacks as well. So I just think overall that we really needed that.
Yeah, and the running back core, Charlie, just worked together as a unit.
Yeah, you know, you don't expect to see Regis putting up these types of numbers consistently, but currently he's on pace for over 1,500 yards this season, which is pretty ridiculous. You know, he's an outstanding back, but all the backs really showed their versatility. You know, Coach Napier, you look at Regis's carries, he only had 13 carries in the game, which was why the numbers he put up was so much more impressive. But the reason he only had 13 carries was they kept shifting the running backs around. Like, they kept putting in new running backs, new fresh legs, and they were all effective. Props to the offensive line for great blocking in the game. They were opening up huge holes, giving the running backs a lot of help. But the running backs are also doing a great job finding those holes and getting positive yardage. Averaging 7 yards a carry as a team on 43 carries, and no matter who you're playing, is super impressive. Over 300 yards in the first game of the season running. So I was very impressed.
Yeah, and we kind of saw it in the press conference after the game that Regis and Mitchell, like, Mitchell really helped Trey Regis get going. Trey Regis ran for 29 yards and got called back for a penalty. And then Regis, on the very next play, ran for 31 yards. Mm-hmm. So, and after the game, Trey Regis said Elijah Mitchell really got him going. So it was really just a team moment there and team effort. 43 rushing attempts, over 300 rushing yards. I mean, doesn't get much better than that. And Trey Regis only having 13 carries, but the team, as you mentioned, I mean, just they all got equal touches.
Yeah, the touches were very spread, but that was because all the running backs were very, you know, effective in what they were doing. So, you know, even though he was only limited to those 13 carries, he made the most out of it, of course.
Yeah, so. And I think we should talk about the quarterbacks because it was a big story coming in. Right. How do the two quarterback system work? How does that work? It works, at least in the first game, that Andre Nunez and Levi Lewis can both lead the team, as we saw. And I think for me, that really shows off Napier's offense and Rob Sale's offense, but it also shows the talent around them as well. You know, we talked about the offensive line playing well, the wide receiving core is deep, and then the running back, as we mentioned, another deep position. But the quarterbacks, Andre Nunez, probably the most accurate performance you'll see in a Raging Cajuns uniform there. I mean, he threw two incompletions on the first drive. Then he completed 19 of his next 20 pass attempts. He finished the game 19 of 22 with 184 yards and two touchdown passes. Nunez also added 21 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. So, I mean, getting it done with the legs, but Charlie, getting it done in the passing game.
Okay, so the very first drive of the game, we were watching Nunez, when it was the starting quarterback in the game, his first two passes were incompletions, then he got sacked. So not a great first possession at three and out. After that, though, he had one incompletion for the rest of the game. After the first drive, he threw 20 more passing attempts and completed 19 of them, which, you know, the first drive may be an outlier, but he was incredible. And, you know, you also kind of got to credit the skill players as well. Nunez was super accurate, but the receivers and the tight ends, even, like tight ends Senior Matt Barnes, they were getting open for him. You know, they were finding openings down the field, and Nunez was finding them. So it's, you know, you compliment both the receivers and the quarterback. Quarterback's super accurate, but the receivers as well for finding openings.
Yeah, and Levi Lewis stepped in, 4 of 8 passing, threw for 2 touchdowns, had 1 interception, but do we count the interception? I don't want to seem like...
Statistically, we do, but it was...
Right. On the box score, we count the interception, but it tipped, and then it got picked off on the sideline.
It looks close. Worse than what it actually was.
Right, but Justin, Levi Lewis also got it done in that game.
Absolutely. It's really promising to see both of our quarterbacks perform this well in the first game of the season. It's, you know, the one interception, like you were saying, you could almost just throw it out. 2 touchdown passes. He only threw 8 passes and had 2 touchdowns. You know, I think that's really impressive. He didn't see the field as much as Nunez did, but I think going forward, now we know that they both are capable of leading the offense.
Yeah, because it didn't matter really what personnel you put out there. You had Calais and Levi in on a drive. They still scored. Then you had Regis and Nunez, and they still scored. And Levi Lewis actually led a 98-yard drive. like scoring drive for the Cajuns. So that just shows you that both quarterbacks capable and thrive when leading the team. It's just this is something I think they prepared all along in training camp.
Absolutely. And you know, there wasn't any kind of a fall off between the quarterbacks. Like, you looked at Nunez and when he would go on touchdown drives, but they'd switch him out with Levi, and Levi wouldn't just stagnate the offense. He also led drives. So, you know, both were very effective, as we've said. I was impressed with both, even though Levi did have that interception. And I kind of expect for Napier to stick with this two-quarterback system. I thought it worked great against Ramley.
It worked. It can keep a defense, you know, off-kilter a little bit. Speaking of the defense, Louisiana's defense held a team under 20 points, something you rarely saw last season. They gave up 40 points a game in 2017. So the defense, the word of the day is impressive. Not that impressive last season, but in this performance against Grambling State, they held them under 20 points. They held them to 17. They gave up a late touchdown. So it's like Levi's interception. Do we count it? Statistically, we do. And, you know, Napier might view it as we count it as well, because you don't want to give up a late touchdown like that, even in a blowout game.
And, I mean, if you look at the score at halftime was 35-10. But the two scoring drives that that Grambling had were off of two outlier plays. They had a 47-yard passing attempt that first play of the game, but the defense held and held Grambling to a field goal.
Right.
And then at the very end of the first half, the quarterback for Grambling ran for 53 yards, I believe. And they scored a touchdown on a fourth and goal on that drive. So the defense on both of those occasions, they barely gave up those points. But, I mean, if they would have stopped Grambling on that fourth and goal, they wouldn't have given up a touchdown the whole first half. Right. And, you know, as I said, they were stout after giving up the 47-yard passing attempt. Because after that, the next 12 plays that Grambling State had on offense resulted in a net gain at 0 yards. So they were forcing out a lot of three and outs, a lot of punts. They didn't force any turnovers, but at the same time, when you're that effective and the offense is rolling, you don't really need to. So
right. So, Justin, is this a promising performance for the defense? Do you think we'll see more of this?
Oh, absolutely. I think this was really a great showcase of what this team can be. And I think they've set our expectations very high for the rest of the season. We know that coming into the first game of the season, you know, nerves are on edge. You still kind of figure out chemistry and stuff like that. But I think if you're able to put up a 49-17 performance in your first game, it kind of sets this precedent for the rest of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how they hold up. But I think it's definitely promising.
Yeah, I think it is promising. What do you think, Charlie?
My expectations were extremely subverted. I thought that this would have been a high scoring, you know, barn burner type of game, where the last team that had the ball wins. Then again, you know, Grambling State did lose two very good offensive players from last season.
Right.
But at the same time, the defense showed a lot in the first half. As did the offense. Don't get me wrong, the offense was very effective. But when you look at last season's opener against Southeastern, the offense needed to keep scoring every drive because Southeastern was scoring each drive. Grambling was getting stopped on three and outs. Like, the offense was out there a majority of the time in the first half. So, you know, because the defense was playing so well, it kind of helped the offense.
Right.
So, you know, they were able to get out to a huge lead very early in the game because both sides are playing really well. So I think that my expectations are now kind of heightened for the rest of the season. I think there are some more games that were like 50-50 that are kind of like tilting the Cajuns' favor at this point.
Right.
Just because of how good their first performance was. But, you know, we'll have to see. We have a couple of really tough opponents coming up soon. So
yeah, I want to stick with the defense a little bit because you kind of presented the case, you know, Grambling State was without their starting quarterback from last season, Kincaid. They were without a running back, Martez Carter. So you could you present the case that we might be overreacting to the defense because Grambling was transitioning without their quarterback and their running back?
I think you could. It's an argument, but I think that doesn't discredit the performance that UL was able to put up. I think they still really shined on all aspects of the field, basically. And I think, yeah, you have to understand that Grambling State was going through a transitional period, but so was Louisiana. So I think it was just a great performance altogether.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think those are exclusive. I think those can exist in the same world. Like, Louisiana put up a great defensive performance, and Grambling was transitioning. It's just that's the way it happened. So the defense did not force a turnover, but they held Grambling to 306 yards, 4 sacks, 6 tackles for loss. Linebacker Jacques Boudreau led the way with 4 tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss, and a pass defended. You like to see that performance out of the linebacking position, Charlie.
As I said, linebackers are the anchor of any defense, and good linebackers can make a defense. Shazier Malbrew as well. Both those two, Jacques Boudreau and Shazier Malbrew, also like they both had a sack in the game. Cage's defense as a whole had four sacks in the game. So the linebackers showed up. They put up good performances, and you know I was very impressed.
Yeah. So the defense, just so encouraging. I think that's the word, so encouraging to see that, you know, you're talking about the contrast between this game and game one of last season. It's encouraging.
I mean, listen, last season the defense was the weak point of the team. They gave up over 45 points in 7 of their 12 games, right? You never like to see that. But, you know, starting the season, opening weekend at home under a new head coach, there's a risk that there might be some growing pains and you might run into some of the similar issues that you saw last season. But so far, the defense has proven that wrong.
The defense. The word of the day, impressive. Let's go back to the quarterbacks. Andre Nunez-Shine, Levi Lewis performed well. Are we going to see more of Andre Nunez? Or are we sticking with the two-quarterback system?
I could see him sticking with the two-quarterback system moving forward. And if it starts to fall apart a little bit, then I think Nunez gets it. But as of now, it worked, you know. So I think they'd stay with it.
Yeah, Charlie, he's more of the two-quarterback system. I mean, it worked.
I agree. If it's not broke, don't fix
yeah,
it.
Yeah, don't fix it.
You know, very good performance in the offense in the first game of the season. So, you know, I think that they'll probably stick with that kind of system. I think the offense is kind of prepared to run that kind of a system all season, with shifting the quarterbacks every once in a while. There might be some games where one quarterback does struggle and the other quarterback might get a majority of the playing time. But at the same time, you know, they'll both see the field at least one drive in the game.
Yeah, and you kind of saw it was just something different, either the pace of play for the offense, the creativity from the offense. Something was different there, and both quarterbacks executed in the game, and we'll potentially see them execute moving forward. So I think either one, this is something they planned all along. I mean, it's just we're talking about last season from this season, and it's only week one, so I don't want to overreact or anything, but this season feels more prepared in terms of what they're doing at quarterback, even though they're playing multiple quarterbacks, as opposed to last season where we thought it was Jordan Davis, and it was solely Jordan Davis. But then you throw Levi Lewis and Andre Nunez in there, and it became like a carousel. Who's starting week one? Or, like, who's playing? Or, like, who's playing this week? So a little bit more prepared in terms of the quarterback situation, I think. So this is something I think they have prepared during training camp. So, Justin, you feeling better about this team after week one?
Or oh,
do you need to, you need to see more? Do you need to see more?
I think that really just kind of calmed everyone's nerves a little bit for this season. It was a great showing in the first week, and I would like to see more just to make sure it wasn't just like a random sort of thing. But I think overall I'm feeling better just because so many things were leading up to this game that we were unsure about.
Yeah, you feel better about the team?
I want to see more just to like prove that it wasn't an outlier performance. But at the same time, you know, you can't really expect much with, you know, two of their next three opponents being top 25 SEC schools. So they're probably going to struggle within the next, you know, 4 weeks, but I think they'll be okay. Going into Sun Belt play especially is where I want to see it. Because if they can play well in the Sun Belt, then that's what I want to see. So
just playing well.
Play well within the conference. That's all. That's, you know, and you were talking about the quarterbacks, but I feel like the skill position players help a lot with whichever quarterback's in. Having so many skilled players all around the field really helps ease them into the game, you know.
Sure.
Like, you don't have to automatically go in and, you know, do it all yourself, right? You got great running backs. You got great receivers. You know, their tight ends are getting involved now. The offensive line's stout. So, you know, it definitely helps ease them into the game more.
It probably eased Nunez a little bit, you know, after the two straight incompletions. And then you have the running game
start
going.
Getting
now
the running
you feel
game
more
going.
Comfortable. Like, as you were saying, the skill players do help a lot. So, guys, we feel better about this Ranger Cages football
team.
We
do.
I mean, it was very, very, a very impressive performance against Grambling State. Do you want to add anything else to Ranger Cages football? Because we're about to transition to the rest of college football week one, and then into NFL, which means the end of our Facebook live stream. So, oh, we do have a comment though. We do have a comment, so we should not miss out on this. Oh, I cannot see the comment.
Oh, no.
Tight end Allen. Oh.
Yeah, there was a player that tore his ACL later in the game.
Yeah, Alex Allen tore his ACL towards the end of the game. So
right.
That is definitely something to look out for. You can only assume. So Alex Allen did tear his ACL, expected to miss the rest of the season.
Yeah. The tight ends, though, you know, seeing Napier get them more involved early in the season is really nice because, you know, you look at last season, the tight ends were not a big part of the offense at all. They barely got any receptions, barely got any touches. Maybe they were used on blocking schemes under Hudspeth's offense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, with Napier coming in, I think that he's, you know, like, planning on using all of his players that he has available to him.
Yeah.
Which even included senior tight end Matt Barnes, who caught his first touchdown pass, six-year senior. So congratulations to him.
Congratulations to Matt Barnes. Unfortunate to see Alex Allen. It was towards the end of the game, too.
It was at the very end of the game.
The very end of the game that Alex Allen tore his ACL. So, I mean, that was an unfortunate situation that happened there. But, yeah, you were mentioning getting everyone involved, including the tight ends.
Yeah.
So that's the update for Alex Allen. Did tear his ACL. If there's anything else that we want to add, I think we covered
right.
a good amount of it. I don't think we talked about the special teams in our preview. Nothing really good, nothing really bad from the special teams. I mean, just even kill performance.
Yeah, I mean, Grambling had pinned us deep at the 2-yard line at one point in the game, but the offense was able to stay, like, you know, focused, and they went on a 98-yard touchdown drive right after that. So, you know, even though the special teams didn't really shine, the offense and the defense were enough to get an easy win.
Right. So that will do it for the Rage of Cajuns football segment. If you would like to watch the Facebook live stream, go on our Facebook, The Vermillion Sports, if you're listening on KRVS. And then I think that's all we have for the Facebook Live. Thank you to everyone that watched. We need a pose.
I'm just going to wave.
All right, yeah, there, just wave goodbye. All right, that does it for our Facebook Live as we go into college football.
Ding.
The ding from our Facebook Live. How do we feel about week one? Was it everything and more? Or was it just weird and sad?
Are you ever going to pick Miami
in
any athletic like event ever again? Like,
he's going to have him winning March Madness next year.
March Madness, Miami's losing first round next year.
Hey, you heard it here first. I'm out on Miami for whatever it is. I can't have my ACT score questioned anymore. And look, I'm sorry. I'm out on Miami. I'm out. They lost to LSU 33-17. The score is closer than what the game was. I'm out on Miami. Sorry. I don't know. But Charlie, was the college football week one everything you expected and more?
My picks weren't great, but other than that, it was a lot of fun. You know, I'm really excited that college football's back. I'm really excited that football's back. You know, it's super fun every weekend to know that, you know, you'll have college on Saturday and NFL on Sunday now. So, but overall, the weekend was had some surprises. You know, Maryland beating Texas. After Texas was ranked in the top 25 again, Miami beat down by LSU like the way they did, and FSU looked horrible as well. You know, FSU playing at home, they got killed by Virginia Tech. So there were a couple surprises, a lot of good games though too. Which ones did stand out to y'all?
Okay, so obviously, Maryland beating Texas has to be kind of the standout game. But we did say, I mean, you did mention that Texas, not the best history with, like, season openers and big games.
Especially under Tom Herman.
I think the most surprising was Florida State getting beat down the way that
they did not look good. Like, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that, like, over 50% of their plays, like, on offense – were either for negative yards or no gain.
Wow. Yeah.
So
it's hard to win as a team if you can't get yards.
Like they had one play, like they were down, I think 17-3, like late in the game in the fourth quarter, and Cam Akers ran for like 80 some odd yards. Like it was a breakout run, because like before that, I think it said that he was like he had 11 carries for 2 yards, you know, but he had like an 80 yard carry, and so they got all the way down to like the Virginia Tech 5. And then they went backwards 3 straight plays and had a turnover. And like,
see, that's what I'm talking about, weird and sad.
That really sums up their night pretty well.
That's just hard right there. I don't know, but I think Florida State, that performance was the most surprising for me. I expected a way better matchup, not five turnovers. Justin, did you hear the excuse that was given?
I did not, no.
What was the excuse given?
Willie Taggart said that he thought that Virginia Tech players were, like, faking injuries, like, to slow down Florida State's offense. But Florida State's offense wasn't getting anything anyways. Like, I don't know. It seemed kind of weird.
Yeah, not probably the right excuse there. But we do have – I think we have two top 25 matchups. Before we get to that, how did we do on our predictions?
I was 1-3.
I know for a fact I was right about two of them. I don't remember my other two picks.
I picked FSU because I trusted in DeAndre Francois. Obviously, my trust was misplaced. Mm. I picked Michigan, which, you know, once again, my trust was misplaced in Shea Patterson. And I picked LSU to beat Miami. I think that was the only one I got right. What was the other one?
Good for you. Auburn? I probably went 0-4.
Yeah, I picked Washington. Washington and Auburn was my favorite game of the weekend. That was super tight.
I had LSU and Auburn correct.
Penn State almost lost to App State, which would have been great. But, you know.
I was about to say, Appalachian State almost beat Penn State. It was close. Did they go to overtime or did they not?
Yes. Yeah, they lost in overtime. They lost in overtime because Penn State scored to tie it with like 40 seconds left.
Okay, so just for the sake, we're about to get to the top 25 matchups in college football, but you did mention this super specific take to me yesterday, Charlie, about Nichols and Tulane, two in-state opponents.
Yeah.
You got to say the take on here.
I don't really remember.
I want it written in stone.
Okay, so Nichols beat Kansas. It was like, I think their first win, which congratulations to Nichols State for that, their first victory over a Power 5 football opponent. So congrats to them. They're playing Tulane this week at Tulane after Tulane lost a close overtime game to Wake Forest. So I think my take when I was talking with Lewis the other day was that I had Nichols winning in overtime. So their second straight OT win over FBS school. I had them winning in overtime after Tulane turned it over. And what was it?
You said Nichols lost in overtime.
No, I said Nichols won in overtime. I said Nichols was going to beat Tulane in overtime.
Okay, yeah, but it was in overtime on a turnover.
In overtime. They'll score like a field goal in their first OT possession, and then like they'll get a turnover.
That's exactly what's going to happen. And you heard it here first.
That's my take.
That's a good take. All right, Justin, two top 25 matchups.
All right.
We have, let me look real quick on my phone. Georgia and South Carolina, USC and Stanford.
I'm going to take Georgia in the first one, then I'm going to go USC in the second.
Georgia and USC, taking the higher ranked teams, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Georgia and TCU?
No, Georgia and South Carolina. Georgia and South Carolina.
South Carolina's in the top
25. South Carolina. They moved up to 24.
Really? Wow. That's impressive. I'm taking Georgia, obviously. I didn't even realize.
That's impressive. Georgia.
I didn't realize South Carolina was in the top 25.
Disrespect.
The other one was USC and Stanford?
Yes.
I'm picking Stanford.
Okay, Stanford. No, okay, Stanford's ranked higher than USC. My apologies.
Bryce Love, I trust.
So you're going to upset.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, so I'm going to pick. I'm going to go 0-2, whatever. I'm going to go Miami in the first match.
And Miami in the second one as well.
And Miami in the second one. Don't trust Miami, man. Don't trust Miami. Yeah, but I'm going to go Georgia. I can't stray
away.
Let's
just all be wrong there.
I'd rather be wrong with all of you.
The primetime game is... Is Clemson and A&M, Texas A&M, at Kyle Field.
What's the primetime game?
Clemson at Texas A&M.
You want to do a prediction on that?
I want to pick A&M.
Should we do four games every week?
Yeah, we can. We'll pick four games each week.
Or if we have four games.
The fourth one should be Nichols Tulane.
It should be. All right. So I'm going to go Stanford in the second one, like over USC.
Oh, here's a good one. Michigan State and Arizona State. That could be a good matchup. Fourth matchup for the week.
All right, so our third matchup is Clemson and Texas A&M.
Yeah, I want to pick A&M. I feel like they can upset, but at the same time, Clemson is just super impressive this season. I don't think they're going to get stopped till like late in the season.
So. I wrote down A&M.
I'll pick Clemson in the game. I think it's going to be tight, though. I think it's going to be a close game.
Justin?
Clemson.
Yeah, I'll go Clemson. It's chalk. It's chalk here. It's
Georgia
chalk.
And Clemson are chalk. All right,
chalk. So our fourth matchup for every week.
What was the fourth matchup? Game?
Is it Michigan. Tulane Nichols or is it Michigan and Arizona?
Michigan State, Arizona State has upset potential. Okay. But, you know, so does Nichols and Tulane. So whichever one y'all want to pick.
We'll do Michigan
State.
Michigan State.
Michigan State, Arizona State.
Versus Arizona State.
Herm Edwards' second game as coach. I'm going to pick Arizona State with an upset.
How did Arizona State look in their first game?
They looked really good, actually. Michigan State almost got upset. I think against Utah State last week. But Utah State as well, I think, has a good program. So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. But it's at Arizona State. I'll pick the Sun Devils.
I'm going to agree with Charlie. I'm going to go Arizona
State. Top 25 upset.
No, I'll go Michigan State. We can't all be the same, guys. All right, Michigan State. Will we go 4-0? Or 0-4?
Or 2-2?
Or 2-2? You know, the possibilities are endless. But we are not good at this, I got to say.
No.
And as much as we want to be good at this.
College football is incredibly unpredictable.
We're not good at this.
You know, like, I think all the college game day analysts picked Miami to beat LSU, and you know, you saw that worked.
Yeah, you saw. Yeah, you
all
saw
this
that
means
that.
Is that Georgia and Clemson are both guaranteed to lose because we all picked them.
Yeah, all the teams that we pick go with the other team. Go with the other team. We're not that great at this. We're not great at predicting. But do you want to predict your college playoff top four teams?
Are we doing that right now?
Or do you want to wait? You want to wait one more
week? It might be a little early for that.
You want to wait one more week? Because we could get to the NFL.
I don't know. What do y'all think?
Justin's excited for the NFL.
I am. NFL is where
Man, he's ready.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We'll hold off another
week. We'll hold off. To be continued. For
Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and Ohio State.
All right. So TBD on the college playoffs. But we have to talk about this. The start.
Woo.
Do we have NFL music?
Ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba.
So we have a woo and a ba-da-ba.
Yeah. Yeah. Do we even have a woo this episode?
I just did one.
That's the first one.
Oh, that's the first one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, so we have one woo and one ba-da-ba. Okay, so the NFL season is here. Charlie, you were supposed to.
Was I supposed to woo?
No, you're supposed to do the
bubble. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Do you want to do it as I read this? I can narrate over. No, it's okay, that's fine. You're not too confident in your acapella skills. Okay, so the NFL season is here. All right.
I haven't seen an NFL game in a year, so.
Yeah. We're a little rusty on our acapella.
On our Sunday Night Football acapella.
So we're a little rusty on that. But the first game has already happened as this show releases. Atlanta versus Philadelphia. They are out by the time the show releases. But we did preview that game last week.
We made our picks.
We did.
We made our picks. Justin, you had?
Falcons.
Charlie, you had?
Falcons.
I had the Eagles.
Yeah, I believe you had the
just
Eagles.
Just to be different.
Right.
Yeah, I had the Eagles just to be different.
Are you sticking with that? Carson Wentz is not playing.
I don't want to pick the Falcons. Like, in the back of my mind, I think the Eagles win this game, like, tight, like a kind of like the playoff game almost, but more of a, like, 20 to, you know, 17 type of game, you know?
I did see that teams that won the Super Bowl the previous season, their opening games, they have success in those games. So, like, I kind of feel good about going with the Eagles in that game. I already picked it. I can't turn back on the pick.
Yeah, just like I can't turn back on my Falcons pick, which I'm kind of like second guessing. But at the same time, I don't know. I think that without Carson Wentz, I think the Eagles are going to struggle out the gate. But
yeah, I mean, I as much as I think Atlanta's going to win, I'm sticking with the Eagles just because of that pick. But, you know, the results are already out. So whatever we say now is just void.
Yeah.
Unless you have a super hot take that's going to go stale, which is my favorite thing.
Nah.
No, oh, John Julio, wants to say something.
Julio Jones gets 3 touchdowns in the game. Please, I have him on my fantasy roster.
Wait, Justin, are you doing fantasy? No.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. So
he has Devontae Freeman.
I do.
Okay. So
I have.
Oh, y'all are both rooting for Atlanta, huh?
Yeah.
Not really. But, like, I'll root for Julio.
Julio can catch 5 touchdown passes as long as
the Falcons lose. Yeah, that's all that matters.
Okay, yeah, no bias here, guys. Of course. No bias at all. But y'all both picked Atlanta. I picked the Eagles. Those takes alone just might go still for all of us.
Someone's going to be right.
There might be a tie. Can you imagine the tie in the first game?
that would be awful.
They find a way for us all to be wrong.
What a bad start.
I'm sorry I even mentioned it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That'd leave a sour taste in my mouth.
Okay, so let's talk about the Saints.
Okay.
The first week means the New Orleans Saints are playing. You don't have a bye week in the first week. So the Saints are playing. And
Tampa Bay did last year.
Yeah, last year with Miami.
Oh, yeah, Tampa Bay and Miami.
Because the game got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Because of weather. Okay. So I guess, yeah. You know what? Prove me wrong. The Saints begin week one at home against Tampa Bay. The Saints are favored by a touchdown in this game. A touchdown?
I'm taking the over.
Yeah.
Taking the over?
Yeah.
You think the Saints win by more than one touchdown?
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll take the over as well. I was about to be like, I'll take the under. Saints win on the last second field goal.
Saints win on the last second safety.
Man, we always want, at least for me, I always want the most dramatic thing to happen. Like, in turn, I don't know.
I think Tampa Bay is going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this season, so I don't really expect much from them.
Okay, that's a take. I like the take. Justin has a lot of NFL takes.
Yeah.
I mean, it came with the takes during the offseason. So, we have to figure out which running back we're looking out for. Who is it? Do you remember?
Melvin Ingram. San Diego.
Melvin Gordon.
Okay. Melvin Ingram is a pass rusher.
Pass rusher for the Chargers. Melvin Gordon.
Is a running back for the Chargers. So there are a couple of Melvins on that team.
Two Melvins. Melvi? What are we?
Justin said Melvin
Gordon.
Gordon will have one of the best seasons.
Right. Yes. Probably not the best. I still think Todd Gurley and Alvin Kamara.
You think he outperforms a lot of running backs?
Correct.
That take, it's mildly warm.
There's a hotter one.
I heard all summer.
And that is that the 49ers are going to do better than the Patriots this year. And I'm still sticking to that.
That's hot. That's a
Jimmy G.
That's a hot take. But, okay, let's go back to the Saints. Let's go back to the Buccaneers game. Saints are at home. Justin, what are we looking out for in this game?
I really think one of the biggest things to watch will be Traquan Smith. Just thinking like how the rookies perform, I think he's got a potential to really shine on this team. And I think that, along with how just the defense comes off of their success last season, if they continue that or if they kind of struggle a little bit to get going again, I think those will be two things I look out for at least.
Try.
The running backs.
Oh, no.
No Mark Ingram. Now no Boston Scott.
I forgot to mention
No that Jonathan thing. Williams. So we got Mike Gillisley and Alvin Kamara.
Who you just signed.
Yeah.
Right.
You just signed Gillisley.
That's kind of worrying. I think that Alvin Kamara is going to probably be a workhorse early in the season, which he's probably not going to be like as effective at as he was like last year. Because last year split touches with Ingram. He was more fresh on the field. Yeah. So that's kind of worrying. But at the same time, Drew Brees, the first 4 weeks, he can carry them. You know, like he doesn't – the rest of the season can be leaned on Kamara and Ingram in the offensive line. But, you know, especially the running back situation is one thing I'm looking out for.
I don't want to discredit longtime listener Mike Gillisley.
Longtime fan of the show.
Yeah, longtime fan. I don't want to discredit him. But it might be hard because he just signed with the team. And then you cut Boston Scott, who a lot of people are upset about.
Right.
I was upset about that.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of, you know, kind of intrigued by Boston Scott, you know, in-state talent.
He looked great in the preseason.
And then he looked good in preseason.
They cut him, I think, because they needed to clear a space for, like, an extra offensive lineman. Because I don't think Andres Pete is 100%. But at the same time, like, there are other players that you can maybe, you know, maneuver around and cut.
Put Boston Scott as an offensive lineman.
Boston Scott's like 5'7".
I don't care. He's like, keep him on the team.
He's a bowling ball, but he's a little bowling ball.
That's what he goes to. Thought just for that stupid joke. I'm sorry.
I love that reaction. He's like 5'7".
He's like
5'7".
How big is Boston? I think he's literally like 5'7", like 200 pounds maybe.
Put him in at offensive line.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was kind of a dumb.
He's 5'7".
You know, one cut I was upset about was Haloi Kikaha.
I was not upset about that.
No, I'm joking. That was... I liked it when we first had him, and then he just kind of...
All right, so you're looking out for the running back position.
Yeah. I'm also looking out for Andres Pete. I don't think he's going to be playing, so the offensive line's not going to be 100%. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing maybe to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
But Vita Vea, the number one overall pick for the Buccaneers, might be out for week one. So that would be a big help for the running game.
Vita Vea is unstoppable in Madden 19.
Dude is huge.
You guys play Madden 19?
Not yet.
I haven't played it yet.
Get that guy on your team if you need a draft, like on a team. That guy is insane. Him and Fletcher Cox, great. Anyway, Justin, you're looking out for the rookies.
Rookies in the defense, yeah.
In the defense. Got to look out for the defense. We're big defensive guys, and we're big running,
big
back,
running
guys.
Back guys.
I mean, that just shows right there. So, game one prediction as we move into the pick the winner segment that we have coming up. But we're starting with the Saints, and we're starting with Tampa Bay. How would this game go, Justin?
I think Saints get the win. I picked the over by more than a touchdown. So.
Is it important? Does it change your prediction that they're playing at home, or even if the Saints were on the road, it wouldn't matter?
I think even if they were on the road, it wouldn't really matter. I mean, the only they are. In our division, and I think just the familiarity there is big. But I still think the Saints would win by more than a touchdown on the road.
Charlie, how will this game go?
Listen, the Saints have started 0-2 the past, I think, three seasons. They're one of two teams that do that. It's them and the Colts. But I think this season they start 2-0, which means, you know, their first game against the Bucs, I think they win comfortably. At home especially, I think you're going to see a little more of kind of what you saw last season in the home game. Hopefully not with Mike Evans pulling a punk hit on Marshawn Lattimore.
Yes.
But
that's something to look out for.
No Jameis Winston in this game. So you'll see Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's had a couple good seasons, but there's a reason he's, you know, a backup to Jameis Winston. So I think you see a sort of, you know, a lopsided scoreboard, something along the lines of like 31-13, something like that.
31. Jesse, you want to throw a score out there?
I'm gonna go 28-14. Just more.
Okay, I'll go with the Saints. I think the Saints eat the dub. yeah, I think they eat the dub very, very easily. I think they win. I want to say 24-10. 24-10 over Tampa Bay. That's two touchdowns. And that's the over.
That is the over.
I mean, I guess the being favored by a touchdown is like a safe thing to do, but
right. Whatever.
We're all on the over, and a considerable over. Let's go to the Pick the Winner segment. NFL Week 1.
Woo!
NFL Week 1. Two woos. And one. So, all right. I'm going to start with the games that I have on my laptop pulled up here.
Do you want me to read them out? I have them all written down.
I'm just going to read
them. Okay.
I mean, yeah. All right. So I'm just going to read them on this list. We have the Falcons and Eagles. I have the Eagles. You too.
Falcons.
Game's already out. Doesn't matter. And Justin's game of the week.
All right.
We have Justin's game of the week. Justin, what's the game of the week?
Bengals at Colts.
Bengals at Colts. And who do you have in that matchup?
I don't even know. I'm going to go with the Colts.
Okay.
Probably not by much.
Okay, so Justin, you have the Colts. I'll have the Bengals in that game.
I'm going the Colts solely based on that Andrew Luck Twitter account where he's like a war general from the Civil War. Because I love that Twitter account. It's very funny. So
actually, the return of Andrew Luck is interesting.
Captain Andrew Luck, I'm going with the Colts.
Okay. Bills, Ravens?
Not Nathan Peterman.
If anyone else was starting, it'd be the Bills.
I'm going Ravens comfortably.
Yeah, same.
Same.
Just Ravens defense because is stout. Of
Nathan Peterman.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just Nathan Peterman has this negative connotation to it now.
5 interceptions, all that.
That's a huge stain on his career, but whatever. Bucks, Saints.
We picked that one.
Saints. All right, so Texans and Patriots, upset potential here?
Possibly.
I like thinking upset potential, and I really want to go for it.
You're not.
I'll go for it.
Oh.
I'll go Watson and the Texans.
Okay, so I'm not going to write down Texans. I'm just going to write Deshaun Watson. No, I have the Patriots. Justin?
I'm actually going to agree with Charlie here. I think it's upset Texans take it. Watson's back.
The Patriots were the first team.
I just think that they've lost a lot of key players.
The Patriots team was the first team that Deshaun Watson really shredded in the NFL.
That's very true.
And their defense, I think, has, you know, gotten worse from last year. So, you know, even though he might not be 100%, you still got, you know, Hopkins, and you still got the Texans defense, which is pretty stout.
Insane.
So, you know, I'm going with the Texans here, and I don't feel uncomfortable with that.
Yeah. Okay. I can see the upset, quote-unquote.
The only issue is that it's in, like, Foxborough.
It's in New England.
Yeah. So it's a road game, which is, you know, a little worrying, but I think that that's, you know, the type of atmosphere that Watson needs to get into immediately to get back into it.
Right. 49ers and Vikings. Justin, stick with the take, man.
I am. I'm going to go 49ers, but I think this is going to be a really good game. The Vikings have an impressive team this season, and I think 49ers still take it, but it'll be a very good game.
Yeah. Charlie?
It's one of the games I'm going to be looking out for as well. I think it's going to be great. I do think Jimmy G picks up his first loss on the road.
Oh, Vikings for Charlie.
I don't like picking that, but, you know.
No, I can see it. I'm going Vikings. But the 49ers, dude, stick with the 49ers take.
Absolutely.
Dude, you're going to look so good if that happens, got to say. All right, Titans at Dolphins.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. No. Shield your eyes. Okay, I'll start this one. Titans.
The fighting Derrick Henrys.
Titans.
All right, we're all Titans there. Can I just say, like, not Tannehill?
Not the Dolphins.
Not Tannehill. Okay, so we're all Titans. Titans on the road, actually.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we must not be fans of Tannehill. All right, so Jaguars and Giants. I will take... I'll take the Jags.
I can see the upset potential there, but I'm going to stay safe and pick the Jags. I think that the Giants' defense really needs to show me something before I can pick them. You know, the year that they were good and they made the wild card, their defense was pretty solid. But this year, I don't really know. I think that, you know, it's kind of safe to go with the Jags in this one.
Yeah, I kind of stopped myself. I was like, oh, Giants? No.
Saquon Barkley is going to have a rough start to his NFL career against that Jags defense.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to go with the Jaguars as well. I just think that the Giants, it'll be fun to see Saquon Barkley in his first real game, but the Jaguars' defense is tough.
Ooh, the road teams are thriving right now. Does the road team keep thriving? Steelers at Cleveland.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, hold on.
Oh.
Actually, I'm going to go with the Browns on this one.
Oh, wow. The Browns pick up
simply because Le'Veon Bell is not playing week one, and Baker Mayfield has great targets and Jarvis Landry and all that, so I think Browns take it.
I really want to pick Cleveland. I really do too.
I do, too.
Cleveland, like, here's the thing about Pittsburgh. Their offense is high-powered because they have great position players. But when one of their best running backs, one of the best running backs in the country, is not playing, You know, you got James Conner coming in. The offensive line will want to block for James Conner because, you know, we've seen all the social media reaction to Le'Veon Bell. But, man, their defense is not good. It just isn't. The Pittsburgh defense really, like, it could be a barn burner type of game. I trust Tyrod Taylor. I trust Jarvis Landry. I'm going to go with the Browns.
I'll go Steelers. But I can see where you guys are going. I mean, I kind of want to pick the Browns too, but I'll go Steelers. Chiefs at Chargers. I'm going Chargers.
I am as well.
Yeah. Home team.
Home team. The home team finally picks up a win.
Well, the Browns too.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm going to be right. No, I'm always wrong. I'm always wrong. You see why I didn't pick the Dolphins?
You should have picked the Dolphins.
They're Miami,
right,
okay?
Right.
No, we're not doing that again. Cowboys at Panthers could be a little fun matchup there. Could be.
It could be. I want to see how Zeke performs, Ezekiel Elliott, especially with Dak Prescott. You know, the offensive line has their issues right now with Travis Frederick and Zach Martin, I think, being out. I think I'll go Carolina because it's at home. But as you said, I think it's going to be a pretty good game.
I think it'll be a good game. I'm going Panthers.
I'm
going
to go with the Cowboys.
Okay. Why are you going the Cowboys?
I think having Ezekiel Elliott back is going to just kind of bring a spark. Like, I do worry, like Charlie was saying, they lost a good bit of their offensive line. But I think they could still pull it out.
And mark this one on the games that I don't care about. Washington at the Cardinals.
I'm going to go with
Cardinals.
The Cardinals.
I'll go the Cardinals. Yeah. I'll go with the Cardinals.
You got the two most electric quarterbacks doling it out, Sam Bradford and Alex Smith. I'll go Redskins here. Adrian Peterson, you know, I hope that he can, you know, step in and perform well. The Redskins are an interesting team. I think their ceiling is probably like 8-8, 9-7 maybe, but their floor is like 4-12. So, you know, we'll have to see how they start out this season. Yeah, but
a ceiling of 8-8.
They're not great, but at the same time, the Cardinals aren't either. And the Cardinals are one of the worst teams in the NFC West.
The thing is, Cardinals do have David Johnson back.
They do. They do.
First game of the season. Sam Bradford, a new quarterback. Larry Fitzgerald's always electric.
Yeah.
That's why I went with them.
Yeah.
All right, next game. Seattle at Denver.
Oh, boy.
This one, I got to hear what you, Justin, who do you got?
I have Seattle only because I trust their quarterback more. I know they're on the road, but I think the young running back, I forget his name, but Russell Wilson and the young running back for Seattle are both just going to do pretty well.
Rashad Penny?
Yeah, that is it.
I'll go Seattle. Charlie?
I'm going Denver here. Case Keenum's introduction to the Broncos, I think it starts off on a high note. I don't trust Seattle's defense anymore.
Oh, you're going to convince me.
But, you know, Denver's got some good weapons on offense. Their defense is always pretty talented. So I'll go with the Broncos.
Nope. Sticking with my take. Sticking with it. Okay. So then we have, as the Sunday night game, Khalil Mack versus Aaron Rodgers. Who do we have?
Rodgers.
Oh, we're going on Green Bay. Part of the pack? What's their thing?
Go Pack Go.
Okay. Part of the pack?
No.
No?
I'm just picking. I'm picking the Packers at home over the Bears.
I've got Da Bears in this one.
Ooh, he has the Bears.
Da Bears.
Jordan Howard.
Coach Dayton.
Mitchell Trubisky. Khalil Mack. I think it's...
I don't think you throw Mitchell Trubisky among those talented names.
No, they have Allen Robinson, too.
Yeah.
They do have some talent, though, on that team. It's just how you put
Roquan
it together.
Smith.
I'm actually going to go a home team here. I'm going to go the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, don't show me you're overpaid, okay?
Don't fail me now.
I think that mentioned that take yesterday as a joke. Aaron Rodgers is going to be proved to be overpaid or something like that. That's not what I believe. Don't put that in the hall
hot
of takes.
Takes.
In the hall of takes. Where it's like Miami is going to go to the Final Four or anything like that. Right? I don't believe Aaron Rodgers. I would think Aaron Rodgers, number two quarterback in the room. Okay. Can't believe I just had to explain myself. Two Monday night games in week one. Okay, we care about one game here. I was looking at him. I was like, I need a reason to care. I think there's reasons to care about both of these games, but one more than the other. But we'll go with the first Monday night game. The New York Jets at the Detroit Lions. We'll start with Charlie. Charlie, who you got?
I'm going the Lions here. I want to see Sam Darnold perform well, but their running game, you know, kind of interests me as well. I just think that the Lions are a safe pick here. So, you know, them at home, Monday Night Football, Showtime, I'm picking them.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Lions are an easy pick here. I'm going to just go with them.
Yeah, I'm going to go Lions. No need to be hot takes all the time, you know. Just sometimes you just, whoa, this is a microwave take happening. You're setting it up. This is a microwave take.
It's not going to happen.
Okay.
I wish it would.
I mean, now we kind of have your prediction now for the Monday night game.
Yeah.
So you're going Rams over Oakland?
Yeah, I want Oakland to win.
Soon to be Las Vegas.
Soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders. I like Derek Carr a lot. I like some of the weapons that he has. Jordy Nelson, new receiver for the Raiders. Marshawn Lynch as well. But their defense is just too suspect, especially with losing a Hall of Fame player.
Yikes.
I think the Rams offense does enough to win this game. It could be a shootout type of game, though. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm going to go the Rams. And I think this comes as no surprise to anyone who Justin picks.
The Rams.
Oh, he has the Rams.
Raiders.
Did you predict the Rams to win the Super Bowl?
I believe so.
I think you did.
I had them going very far if I didn't.
Or you had them going very far. Oh, I mean, should we predict right now the very early pick of your Super Bowl champion? Before you see how teams actually are, you know, so it's not fair to us. But I mean,
I feel
it could
like
be interesting.
The safest NFC pick is probably the Vikings, but I'll say the Saints. I think the Saints have what it takes, if they stay healthy, of course. And out of the AFC, there's like a myriad of teams. It's going to be a cluster in the AFC. With kind of the decline of the Steelers and the Patriots, like that's not a two-team league anymore. So you could see any team like a Jacksonville or, you know, if Deshaun Watson plays at an MVP level, maybe the Texans. But, you know, I'll stay – even the Chargers might surprise people. But I'll say the Saints and the Jaguars.
I'm going to go with the Rams from the NFC. And I think maybe the Texans, like Charlie was saying, have a potential to surprise a lot of people. So I think Rams and Texans Super Bowl.
Wait, no 49ers?
What's I have them here? Losing in the NFC Championship to the Rams.
Oh, that'd be a fun matchup. 49ers and Rams? If that were to happen?
Yeah.
NFC West.
Yeah,
49ers could happen, would have to be a wild card. Or whoever loses the division would have to be
both
a wild
card. Both wild
cards
would have to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so that does it for this. You notice I didn't give my Super Bowl pick?
Right.
Do I have to give a Super Bowl pick?
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I kind of introduced it. Okay, so I like the Saints look good, man. I'm going to go the Saints. Not a lot changed, and they were super close last season. I'll go the Saints, and my AFC team. Guys, give me an AFC team that's really good.
The Dolphins.
Three of them.
And I'll go Miami.
It's back to Miami for Lewis.
Yeah. You thought I gave up on Miami? No, I didn't.
Super Bowl.
Saints and Miami in the Super Bowl. Oh, someone's going to soundbite that or something. I'll soundbite it. That'll do it for myself, Justin, and Charlie this week. Thank you for talking sports with me. As always, guys, if you miss any part of the show, you can listen to it online at krvs.org. You can hear us talk sports every Friday at midnight. Programming on KRVS comes to you each week through the generous support of listeners like you and the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. As always, thank you for listening, and go Miami!
Woo!